marketing automation can allow you to essentially take a piece of Velcro, stick it to the brick wall so that next time you throw a tennis ball, it's going to stick.
Great. I was thinking you might say that it's like having one of those tennis ball machines that keeps launching the tennis balls at the wall.
Yeah.
It's probably doing both.
Yeah, it is. I think, well...
And I like how you've used tennis balls instead of shit. I think that's classy.
This is Superfast Business with James Schranko. James Schranko. Helping you build your business super fast.
Welcome back to Superfast Business. I'm James Schranko. Today we're really digging into a topic that you've probably heard about. You know that it's good, possibly, and there's a good chance you're not doing too much of it, like I wasn't for many years. It's not something you do when you start out online, and it comes with a little bit of a complexity syndrome. So I'm talking about the topic of marketing automation, and we're actually going to dig into what that means and how it works with my special guest today, Jake Hauer from Increscio.com.
Hey, James, how are you?
I'm good. Now, you have been on my show before, but we were talking about Fused App, which is a great software company that you've built that does some fantastic things, and anyone interested in that could go and listen to the episode. Now, one of the great features of that software is that it does things for you automatically, and I'm using it every day. But what we've been working on lately is a special project, because I've come to you and I've said, Jake, you're really good with this technical stuff. Can you help me get some of the things in my business happening on autopilot so that I don't have to manually do some of the things that I was doing before? And you were kind enough to come along and have a look at what I've got. So today we're going to talk about what is marketing automation and what sort of things have we been using on my business and perhaps for some of your other clients of Increscio, and we'll just see where that goes. So first of all, why should we even be interested in marketing automation?
The analogy that I've been using, and whether or not it makes sense or not, is imagine your goal is to stick a tennis ball to a brick wall, okay? So if you're throwing all this marketing at your business, so the marketing is, say, the tennis ball, your business is the brick wall, it's likely that if you just throw it straight at the brick wall, this tennis ball, it's going to bounce off. And marketing automation can allow you to essentially take a piece of Velcro, stick it to the brick wall so that next time you throw a tennis ball, it's going to stick.
Great. I was thinking you might say that it's like having one of those tennis ball machines that keeps launching the tennis balls at the wall.
Yeah.
It's probably doing both.
Yeah, it is. I think, well...
And I like how you've used tennis balls instead of shit. I think that's classy.
And I'll tell you why I take this approach, because I'm a big one for marketing automation. I think it's great, but I don't think that a lot of people talk about marketing automation more so about the automation. So I think I'm just going to create this massive sequence of emails, et cetera, and run people through that particular sequence. I think people are a lot more smarter than that now, and they can understand when they're receiving something which is dated, and it's very hard to not deliver a message that is going to appear dated when you've got something so long.
Well, I'll just stop you on that. I totally get what you're saying there. If we were to wind back the clock maybe 5 years, I used to have, I think, somewhere like 50 messages lined up in my autoresponder for people who joined my main blog back then. And I one day just went and just deleted them. Because I found that, yeah, that even though it's evergreen, if anyone joins your list more than once, which was a possibility, they start getting the same sequence. And yep. One thing I've learned lately, that my gut intuition was probably right, because of the opt-ins that I get on my own site, a huge proportion of them are people who have opted in before, because of the way that people are coming to my site from so many different angles. And they're opting in for so many customized pieces of content. So I've had to get more sophisticated now in terms of tagging those people in terms of where they've come from. And one of the other interesting things that I've found that again, proves this idea that perhaps marketing isn't so linear, is that when we're looking at the conversions we get, in some cases, people have been accessing my site like 25 different times through 5 different channels. It's really a, depending on your marketing methods, of course, and mine is extremely well-rounded compared to some. It's not a linear game, is it?
Absolutely. Yeah, exactly right. And I guess that tennis ball shooter, I guess, is the old style of marketing automation, but Velcro has replaced it. So I think instead of going really long, what I found really powerful is just really short sequences based on the behavior of your user. So if somebody opts in for the OTR course, for example, on Superfast Business, it's highly likely that Superfast Business membership is going to be relevant to them. So what you might do is, because they've shown interest in learning about improving their business and about this strategy, you might, over the course of a week or two, send them a few extra emails about that specific topic and, you know, encourage them into the community. But if they don't take action, then you might just move them back across to your main OTR blog list where they're receiving more information outside of just that specific action.
Yeah, so let's just get into the technical here. It's important, I think, when we're talking about this, to point out that we can do clever things such as when someone opts in, we can go and check to see if they're a member of Superfast Business membership or not, and then we can tune our campaign through the use of software to start sending a relevant message. Now, we've been doing a case study for my own live event, and one of the automations that is there is so simple and so clever, and it's something I used to do manually, but you've helped me set this up automatically, and that is, if someone buys a ticket to my live event, we go and check if they're a member of my membership or not. And from memory, this is how you joined my membership in the very beginning, is you bought a ticket to my live event and I sent you an offer to join my membership and you joined. And I'd actually forgotten to do that a couple of events and you reminded me that's how you joined, and I thought, you know, we should do that again. And now we've got that completely automated using software.
Exactly, exactly. And I think the key thing you mentioned there is simple. Most people... In fact, let me explain my experience with marketing automation. So I'd learned a lot about quite a bit about marketing and about what it can do for you. I bought my platform, which I was using at the time, Infusionsoft, and I went dove head first and did all of this stuff. I'm very technical, so I understand how to do it all and learn it. But I built out something so complex that I didn't know what how to actually use it. Like I was afraid of using it because it would break the system. So over the course of 18 months to 2 years, I basically scrapped everything and realized that simple is best, because everybody appreciates simple.
You know, Jake, you've just described what every single person does when they're growing their business is they go complex and over-engineer and overthink things, and then eventually that leads to paralysis because you don't know what to do.
Yes.
And then you just basically rebuild. And my business has gone through that many times. I actually had a simpler email system for the majority of the years after that first phase. Now, when you came along, had a look under the hood in my business, you would have seen that there's plenty of short behavioral triggers and sequences, but there's a lot that I'm not doing, and that's really the stuff that I think we should focus on. And so the first one was a really simple thing saying, hey, you've just bought this, let's go and check if you have the thing that goes with it, and if you don't, we'll offer it to you, and if you do, fantastic. And the other thing on the flip side of that, we realize, well, hang on a minute, what if someone's a member of the community, but they haven't bought a ticket yet? We should really follow them up as well. So we've got this cross-checking going on, and it's very easy to do with the software, and I'm going to ask you to explain how that works.
Yeah, exactly. So you're an Entreport user, and it allows you to apply tags to people based on, you know, different events. So, for example, you would tag people who are opting into your blog for the OTR course, or you'd tag your Superfast Business membership customers. So what we do is we create a very simple rule, which is, I guess, is triggered by somebody visiting the sales page or the live event page. And it then checks to see whether or not that particular person who visited the site is already a member. and then it decides what action, what course of action to take based on just filtering through a few different parameters like that.
Yeah, and so to put this in perspective from the business owner's point of view, this is my experience. For this particular live event, we have – there'll be 100 and something people in the room. My main job this time has been several months ago to spend one day making some videos that you prescribed for Ryan Spanger and I to make. And I'm talking to Ryan about videos and that will be a separate podcast. But the videos we made were then all loaded up into the system. You've come along and just rejigged the system, drafted some emails, set some timers and some sequences. And now my job is just to send people to my content, do my usual thing, which I call OTR, and that's just continually publish podcasts and infographics and do some social media marketing and let people come to my site. And if they opt in or they visit my site, we can take a retargeting cookie and we can start advertising to people the relevant message based on what we know about them already when they hit the system. It's like, okay, we've just got a new person in the system. Let's have a look at what we already know about this person because of their email address. And if they just visit my site, then we can at least follow them up and send them a very specific message. And the scale of this might surprise people. One of the Facebook campaigns that I've done, I was selling live event tickets for 1 cent. And that's how specific and focused you can be. So when you combine things like retargeting or remarketing, that's really like the Velcro, isn't it? You're following that tennis ball around.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. OTR is the tennis ball. And I think that's, for me, I really I resonate with this method of marketing, because OTR is powerful, because I believe it's powerful because it allows you to you know, modify your message based on what you want to amplify. But it also it's very consistent and very fresh, as opposed to having these big, long autoresponder sequences. And what you can do is you can just ensure you've got the right calls to action. And by implementing some relatively simple marketing automation sequences for your different products or the different offers and your membership and your live event, then you know that all the promotion you do following just the OTR strategy is going to be – it's you're going to capitalize on that because you've got these funnels in place.
Exactly. It's like an OTR, like one way to think of it, it's like the gates at Disneyland. You've got all these buses rolling up and trains and cars and taxis, they're just all rolling up to the front gate. Everyone's, you know, going through that front gate, and when they're in, they go off to their different adventure lands depending on their preferences and their likes and dislikes, and you just keep and it works well for repeat visitors. It works well for new visitors because you're, like you said, the real key here is behavioral based. Now, one question that's going to come up, because it comes up every time you and I hang out anywhere, it's Jake, what should I be using? Infusionsoft, Entreport, Aweber, MailChimp, ActiveCampaign. You know, people will have seen on my side, I review Entreport and ActiveCampaign, and I used to use Aweber. The only, in fact, I tried Infusionsoft, but it wasn't a good fit for me.
Yep.
How do you answer that as an automation expert?
Yeah, the simplest answer is the tool you use is better than the tool you're not going to use. So, I always say that every tool is going to do the job. It's going to perform the job for you that you require it to do. So and it's more about just maximizing what you've got. So there's a lot of Infusionsoft versus Entreport versus ActiveCampaign. I think that's an invalid question to be asking. It's more about what do I need to do or what do I want to do, and then looking at which tool is going to be most suitable.
Right. So it's kind of just similar to our tools test within my own business, which is, you know, is it a good tool to start with? Because obviously you don't want to get into a crappy tool.
Yeah.
But any of the frontline options are going to be pretty good. Do we know how to use it? Yep. Like, have we learnt it? Have we gone into the tutorials? Do we apply the things that it can do? And do we actually implement? And, you know, you talked about how exciting it can be when you get a complicated tool. And I've got a pretty powerful tool with Ontraport, and I'm not really tapping some of the areas that give it a lot of its power, but that's where you've come in and just polished that diamond, you know?
Yep, exactly. And I think that's probably the first question to ask when you're even considering tools is, have I broken the tool I'm already using? Or am I using it to its full potential?
I think that's what happened with me when I reached the line with Aweber. It was great for small lists and for linear marketing. It's not so great switching people between lists because you need add-ons for that. And by the time you do that, you might as well just get one tool that harnesses that. So for me, that puts most of my audience into ActiveCampaign or Ontraport, because most of them are small businesses, not too many staff, maybe teams of 5, 6, or 10. And I think it's probably the more technical people or people with a sales force or people with a bigger business, they're going to start tripping into the Infusionsoft region.
Exactly. Yep. Absolutely. And I think unless you've got someone who has the ability technically in the business, or you've got the a service that you can use to actually run it, then it is best to keep things nice and simple.
Right, so really most people are going to be in that Ontraport ActiveCampaign, and if they're small, ActiveCampaign's really well-priced. If they're a bit more, if they're $300 a month is no trouble for you, then Ontraport's a great starting point. So that's hopefully addressed those concerns for the majority of which tool's right for me. And that's where I suggest people come to an expert like you and tell you what their business is and what results they want, and you would say, oh, well, for that, bang, here are the templates, here's the systems, the sequences, we'll just go and lay them into the machine for you. Because that's the technological barrier that most people face. It's like, great, I've got this powerful tool. It's like someone off the street buying a Formula One car, and they're like, well, I don't really know how to drive it. You got to hire a driver, or you got to learn to drive. So there are some basic things that everyone should do, and then there's the option, which is what I've found a lot of power in lately, is having an expert like Jake actually coming in and saying, right, well, this is good. Now what you should do is add this, this, and this. So what I'm enjoying is that when the end of the month comes up, I've noticed that there's sign-ups coming into my system because the emails have started going out based on a date sequence.
Yep.
It's counting down to the deadline, and it's like having a product launch that is completely automated. And you could set this up for an ongoing evergreen thing, or you can have it for a date-specific thing like a live event.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I think I think you're talking about knowing what to set up. There's probably a few things that we've done that take very little time that we've implemented in this particular campaign that I'd probably – maybe if we go through it now. So I think probably the first one that we did was put in an abandoned cart sequence. Now, that is simply if somebody goes to the checkout page to add a ticket to attend a live event – but they don't go ahead and complete the purchase, then we put them into a very simple sequence that sends them, I think it's 2 or 3 emails over the course of 7 days, just reminding them that they actually did go ahead to try and purchase a ticket, but they forgot for some reason or got distracted for some reason. So it sort of encourages them back in to complete that purchase they were going through.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are sitting on the edge, or they might have 17 browser windows open, or their kid drops a glass in another room, or they're running late for a bus or something.
Exactly.
So it's not that offensive to follow someone up for something they've already indicated that they had some interest in.
Exactly, and it's very relevant. So and you're not really selling them. All you're doing is reminding them that it looked like they tried to do something and then got distracted. So here you go. You can complete it here now. So it's very simple, very very easy to implement, and it's actually applicable to a lot of different use cases. So commonly it's applied in the e-commerce space or somewhere where you've got to get somebody to actually make a purchase. But if you've got a lead generation form on your website, what you'll find is that sometimes you need to collect additional information, or you need to convince somebody to book an appointment after they submit their details to you. And it can work in those situations as well. You can apply the same philosophy and the same sort of system where you send them a few reminders until they complete the action that they should have taken initially.
Exactly. And we call that a two-step process. I've used that very successfully with Entreport. We had customer had a newspaper campaign and a radio campaign a year or so ago, and we wanted the maximum sign-up, so we just asked for an email field, and then on the second page we asked for more details, and now we could follow people up who didn't fill in the second page specifically. So we had two groups, and what we found was about 80% of the people filled out both pages.
Yep.
So there's 20% of people that we may not have got in the first place, is my estimation.
Exactly.
By doing it two steps.
Yeah, exactly. And just adding one simple follow-up message, I've sort of found, I guess, roughly on average about a 20% bump. So of that 20% of people, 20% of those would have then gone on to complete the form. So it's an extra five in every 100, you're getting an extra 5 people complete the process.
Right. And there's no reason, you can't market to stage one customers anyway, but the stage two ones, you're getting that more granular detail. Jake, one of the questions I get asked all the time, that sequence you just mentioned where someone visits the checkout page, they don't buy, I start following them up. I do this. Occasionally I get people hit reply to my follow-up, and they say, wow, this is incredible. How do you do this technically? What's happening to make this possible?
Okay, so you need to know who that person is, obviously, to be able to follow up with them. So Entreport is, I guess, powerful enough to, if someone visits your site from an email, then a little piece of information is stored on their computer. So if they come back and visit your site again, it recognizes that user. So that's one way. The other way is to have some sort of a form or some way of collecting that person's email address. So it's either using, like you mentioned before, a two-step opt-in where you collect the email address before taking them to that payment page, or it's having the first field on the page being an email form. So what happens if they enter their email address and then go through and don't complete all of the fields or don't add their credit card for payment, that information is collected automatically as well. So that's the second way you can do it.
And I think the way that I'm doing it is using a special redirection link on my checkout button. So it's just to put it in layman's terms, one major change I made a year or two ago was on my sales page, instead of having my payment form, I put that on a second page called checkout, and then I put a button where people have to click on the button that says, you know, buy a membership or access now or whatever, depending on the product. As soon as they click that button, it tags them with the checkout abandonment sequence, and then it goes along in, I think, 1 hour and checks to see if they bought, and if they didn't, then it sends the follow-up email. Mm. So that must rely on remembering who someone is based on them already being on my email system, which for me works because probably 65% of the people on my site have been there before, and many of those have opted in.
Yep, exactly. And for those that aren't already known by the system, you can utilize Facebook remarketing, which is what you've been using it's what you've been using to sell event tickets. So basically anyone who visits that checkout page, Facebook knows who they are and they can show ads to them.
Right. So they don't have to give an email address. I may never have seen them before. They can go to my checkout page, and now when they're on Facebook, which pretty much every person in the world is, I could run them a little ad. And like you said, this seems to stem from the e-commerce world. I know Amazon do it, and I'm sure if you're not familiar with this concept, you'll think it's uncanny how people, you know, if you want a pair of red shoes on a shoe store and you go and check some out, and then the next day you start seeing them on Facebook. That's what's happening.
Yep, absolutely. Now, I think it's important at this point to get the messaging right, because I think it can be a little bit too big brotherish. Like, I don't really resonate with messages that where people are using this type of sequence where they say, I noticed you tried to complete the – well, in fact, I'll rephrase that. I saw that you visited our page five times, but you don't but you haven't made a purchase. Can I help you with anything? So I don't like that direct acknowledgement that they know that as a business they know exactly what their users are doing on the site. I think that's a very how do you put it? It's very invasive, or it feels invasive for you as a user. So I like messaging that sort of. It's just like it's convenient that they're messaging at that time. So instead of saying, I noticed you visited this page, it's like saying, hey, I've got a super fast business live coming up. If you're interested, I'd love to, you know, I'd love for you to come along. Let me know if you've got any questions.
Exactly. It's subtle. We're not being a smarty pants. You're not offending anyone. And it's done tastefully. I noticed when someone asks me what microphone I use, I might go to Amazon, find the exact microphone, get the link, paste it into an email, and then the next day or two, I'm going to get an email from Amazon. Hey, James, were you still interested in microphones? And it links me to the page.
Yeah.
This is not too offensive. It's pretty clever, though. What do you estimate the results of doing this are for business owners?
Well, I think probably the biggest thing it does is it simplifies everything. So if you've got this in place, it's one less thing you have to worry about. So in your instance, if you've closed, got these funnels set up, you can basically forget about that conversion stage and just focus on producing the OTR content, knowing full well that the system is going to take care of a lot of the rest.
Right. So I'm tipping stuff in the top of the funnel.
Yeah.
And the funnel's built.
Yes.
It's a conveyor belt machine, just starts processing.
Exactly. So instead of having to worry about, you know, you actually spending time on each spot of that particular funnel, you can just focus on putting people into the funnel.
Right. Because in the past, I would have had to think, oh, gee, you know, put a diary note. I better send a note to people who are coming to the event. They might want to join my community so they get to meet all the other attendees.
Exactly.
And now it's just going to happen. And it has been happening. The results have been, from my perspective, really impressive. You know, we've sold over 100 tickets. I'm getting people coming into the community who have come into the live event, and they've joined the community because they're coming to the live event. And so we're seeing it actually play out, seeing very low ad costs because it's so relevant. And it's just all working in the background. Like, I have been able to focus on other things, like doing podcasts and stuff.
Yep.
And one of the exciting things is at the live event, you are going to go through some of the behind the scenes statistics, like some of the actual emails that were written, some of the ways that you had them send out, like how many emails, what they said, which ones convert. We've been tracking everything with a software that shows all of the conversion path, and it's fascinating to watch. I mean, I'm literally amazed at how many times some people visit the site before they buy.
Mm.
Now, maybe I've got to improve my sales copy, or maybe I just have a very low pressure environment where people eventually buy, and I've got patience and I'm allowed to let that happen by osmosis.
Well, you're not forcing people into making that decision. They're making it on their own terms, aren't they?
Exactly. And I think I get a really good type of customer because of that. I've got very motivated and low pressure customers. In fact, you know, one thing I was looking at recently was this long thread on Facebook. It went for like as long as your arm, and it was all these internet marketers talking about the internet marketing offers and special offers and marketplaces and affiliates and syndicated promotion gangs and mini launches and high-level mastermind Facebook things. And I don't understand that whole world now, because it just seems like, A, a lot of work, B, somewhat shifty, C, a very inefficient business model compared to just setting up a substantial, authoritative website where you put good content, you attract the right people, and then you have relevant messaging. You don't actually need to go too advanced on that. You just need a good software to support your business. I'd say a lot of people underinvest in their CRM system. What do you think?
Yeah, definitely. I think anytime I would start a business, or anytime I do start a business now, and what I recommend is that that's probably the first thing you get in place and working on, because it's so powerful. It's very hard not to, even with Infusionsoft or Ontraport, it's very hard not to get $300 worth of value out of the platform with just less than 30 minutes of work setting it up.
That's it. And people spend $1,000 a month on affiliates or some other thing.
Yep.
But this $300 a month investment is a monstrously powerful machine.
Well, it allows you, for instance, to sleep while you've got these people on Facebook talking about different strategies. I bet you sleep incredibly soundly, wake up when you want, sometimes even late for podcast episodes, for instance, and know that that week you just need to put out a couple of pieces of content and work on ensuring that community engagement and, you know, a few posts in the community, and everything's just going to keep ticking over.
That's it. Most of my time is just a balance of some fresh content and supplying content to existing customers. That's it. It's like a 50-50 split.
Yeah.
Not spending a lot of time doing the hustle or the midnight burn anymore. And I think that tools like this are really the secret to cracking that machine, is to invest in the right software, give it some instructions that are intelligent, and let it do the work. And if you want a great metaphor for that, I just watched a movie called The Imitation Game, and it was about Turin, who cracked the code for the Nazis were using in the World War II, and he basically built a machine that could decipher the code that no one could do by hand. It would take something like 3,000 years to try every possible combination, and he more or less invented the computer. And when I was watching that movie, that was my instant recognition. Hey, this is like the software systems we're using now, that they take in all this data, they automatically do the things that we used to do manually, and it really is like that utopian dream of when computers come, they'll just start doing all the work. This is one aspect that's actually true, even though the rest of it's probably hasn't worked out the way that they thought. But this is as close as it gets.
Yeah, definitely. And I think importantly, as you said, it's either things that you were doing previously or were never doing. And it allows you to focus on doing the things that a computer can't do, like flying across to London and shaking the hands of your customers.
Yeah, like literally when you're spending a day of travel, you want your business to just be functioning automatically, you know. And when you combine it with other things that I talk about, like leveraging podcasts, you know, every single week I'm getting around 10,000 downloads. It's mind-blowing to think that in any given day, like right now, several people are listening to me talking on a podcast that I've already put out there. That podcast will lead to my website. The website will lead to either a Facebook campaign or an email campaign that the system's going to sift and sort and automate depending on where they're at already and what selections they've made. So their behavior will drive the result, and the end result will be dollars put into a bank account. You know, and that is mind-blowing. And I think what you've done here, and we'll just do a little recap, is you've really impressed on why marketing automation is so valuable and what it actually is. Specifically, we're talking about one or two pieces of key software that can make great relevant decisions and do things for us automatically, but we've got to program them in, and that's where people often get stuck. Then what if I'm not technical? What if I don't, you know, what if I get overwhelmed with all these things? That's when I suggest you hire someone to set it up for you, or you learn about how to do it yourself. In the beginning, I watched the training modules set up what I started with all by myself, and now I'm at the point where I'm saying, okay, I've given it a good shot. Now I get someone, tech genius with a marketing understanding like Jake, come in and say, okay, well, here's what you can do to make this even better. And there is a lot that can be done. And I do think if you can invest in it, just get someone to do it for you would be the best solution. Because once you've done it once, once you've put in that upfront investment of either time or money or a combination of both, the payoff for any reasonable business. This does rely on you actually having a good product or a good affiliate offer that you can promote, and it does rely on you being able to tip things into the front end of the machine. So that's important. You've got to have something at the beginning, and you've got to have something at the end, but the bit in the middle, that's where you can get so much advantage. Have I explained that properly?
Perfect.
Okay. So what will be some action steps that one might take, having just spent some time listening to this? They're all excited. They've probably got maybe just a standard run-of-the-mill email setup, collecting a few opt-ins, sending a couple of broadcasts, or maybe five or six autoresponders. That's about it. I'd say that's a typical scenario. What would we be thinking about right now?
So right now is I'd go away and I'd review what you're already doing. If you haven't got an abandoned sort of sequence in place, I would do that. You can just start with one email. So put in place whenever somebody either reaches the point of a purchase or that they reach an inquiry form and you need them to do something else, just try with one email 15 minutes after they complete the first step and just ask them if they need help to finalize the process. The other one I think which is really beneficial is having a user onboarding sequence. So most businesses have information that needs to be conveyed to their user, and it's something that people don't necessarily think about systemizing. And I think if you just think about what every customer needs to know about your business or about what they've just purchased, and put that into an email. Again, it can be just one single email, and that really helps people get embedded into your business, and it creates a really good experience for them.
Beautiful. And an advanced one for someone who's already got those set up?
Yep. I'll look at creating funnels, which would cover, I guess, the marketing side of things for each of your different product categories. This is stuff that I guess we're going to cover at the live event, and we're already covering it inside your community. But if you've got a product, look to put in place that Velcro that we've been talking about. And then you know that any traffic you're sending to that, it's gonna hopefully stick.
Beautiful. Well, Jake, thank you so much for sharing. If you need help with your marketing, I do recommend Jake. He's the one I've asked to come and help me. He's got a site called Incresio.com, Incresio.com. And also, Jake's going to be speaking at my live event, and we're going to open up the books on my own business. We're going to show you behind the scenes in my automatic email follow-up system. We're going to have a look at some of the conversion statistics, some of the advertisements that we used, and how we tied it all in with the video marketing, which is a whole other side of the equation. But the point is, once I did that one day of video filming and handed over the keys to the logins to Jake, the rest of the marketing was autopilot. And that's the exciting part. I hope you can come along and see that. Get access to the recording if the event's already been run. And hopefully, Jake, we'll get you back in the future to tell us what you're up to in the next amazing iteration of your online journey. It's fantastic to watch this proliferation.
Absolutely. Well, thanks for having me on. I've enjoyed it.
Thanks, Jake.
Discover how to build your business
super fast.
Check out superfastbusiness.com.